Yes, you can and should read this on camera. I expected that you would, so I'm writing this letter not only to you, but to your audience. Hello, audience. She could almost hear his introductory intake of breath, his settling in before an important speech. I can't see you anymore, May. Not that we had such a constant or perfect friendship anyway, but I can't be your friend and also part of your experiment. I'll be sad to lose you, as you have been important in my life, but we've taken very different evolutionary paths, and very soon we'll be too far apart to communicate. If you saw your parents and your mom gave you this note, then you saw the effect all your stuff has had on them. I wrote this note after seeing them, both of them, strung out, exhausted by the deluge you unleashed on them. It's too much, May, and it's not right. I helped them cover some of the cameras. I even bought the fabric. I was happy to do it. They don't want to be smiled upon, or frowned upon, or zinged. They want to be alone, and not watched. Surveillance shouldn't be the trade-off for any goddamn service we get. If things continue this way, there will be two societies, or at least I hope there will be two. The one you're helping create, and an alternative to it. You and your ilk will live willingly, joyfully, under constant surveillance, watching each other always, commenting on each other, voting and liking and disliking each other, smiling and frowning, and otherwise doing nothing much else. Already there were comments pouring through her wrist. May, were you ever so young and dumb? How did you end up dating a zero like this? That was the most popular, soon superseded by, "Just looked up his picture. Does he have some Sasquatch somewhere in the family tree?" She continued reading the letter. "I will always wish all good things for you, May. I also hope, though I realize how unlikely it is, that somewhere down the line, when the triumphalism of you and your peers, the unrestrained manifest destiny of it all, goes too far and collapses into itself, that you'll regain your sense of perspective and your humanity. Hell, what am I saying? It's already gone too far. What I should say is that I await the day when some vocal minority finally rises up to say it's gone too far, and that this tool, which is far more insidious than any human invention that's come before it, must be checked, regulated, turned back, and that most of all, we need options for opting out. We're living in a tyrannical state now, where we are not allowed to." May checked how many pages were left. Four more double-sided sheets, likely containing more of the same directionless blather. She threw the pile in the passenger seat. Poor Mercer. He'd always been a blowhard, and he never knew his audience. And though she knew he was using her parents against her, something was bothering her. Were they really that annoyed? She was only a block away, so she got out and walked back home. If they were truly upset, well, she would and could address it. When she walked in, she didn't see them in the two most likely places, the living room and the kitchen, and peeked around the corner into the dining room. They were nowhere. The only sign of them at all was a pot of water boiling on the stove. She tried not to panic, but that pot of boiling water and the otherwise eerie quiet of the house arranged itself in a crooked way in her mind, and very suddenly she was thinking of robberies, or suicide pacts, or kidnappings. She ran up the stairs, taking them three at a time, and when she reached the top and turned left quickly into their bedroom, she saw them, their eyes turned to her, round and terrified. Her father was sitting on the bed, and her mother was kneeling on the floor, his penis in her hand. A small container of moisturizer rested against his leg. In an instant, they all knew the ramifications. May turned away, directing the camera toward a dresser. No one said a word. May could think only of retreating to the bathroom, where she pointed the camera at the wall and turned off the audio. She rewound her spool to see what had been caught on camera. She hoped the lens swinging from her neck had somehow missed the offending image. But it had not. If anything, the angle of the camera revealed the act more clearly than she'd witnessed it. She turned the playback off. She called AG. "Is there anything we can do?" she asked. Within minutes, she was on the phone with Bailey himself. She was glad to get him because she knew that if anyone would agree with her on this, it would be Bailey, a man of unerring moral compass. He didn't want a sex act like that broadcast around the world, did he? Well, that had already been done, but surely they could erase a few seconds so the image wouldn't be searchable, wouldn't be made permanent. "May, come on," he said. "You know we can't do that. What would transparency be if we could delete anything we felt was embarrassing in some way? You know we don't delete. His voice was empathetic and fatherly, and May knew she would abide by whatever he said. He knew best, could see miles further than May or anyone else, and this was evident in his preternatural calm. For this experiment, May, and the circle as a whole to work, it has to be absolute. It has to be pure and complete. And I know this episode will be painful for a few days, but trust me, very soon nothing like this will be the least bit interesting to anyone. When everything is known, everything acceptable will be accepted. So for the time being, we need to be strong. You need to be a role model here. You need to stay the course. May drove back to the circle, determined that when she got back to campus, she would stay there. She'd had enough of the chaos of her family, of Mercer, her wretched hometown. She hadn't even asked her parents about the sea change cameras, had she? Home was madness. On campus, all was familiar. On campus, there was no friction. She didn't need to explain herself or the future of the world to the circlers who implicitly understood her and the planet and the way it had to be and soon would be. Increasingly, she found it difficult to be off campus anyway. There were homeless people, and there were the attendant and assaulting smells, and there were machines that didn't work, and floors and seats that had not been cleaned, and there was everywhere the chaos of an orderless world. The circle was helping to improve it, she knew, and so many of these things were being addressed. Homelessness could be helped or fixed, she knew, once the gamification of shelter allotment and public housing in general was complete. They were working on this in the NARA period. But in the meantime, it was increasingly troubling to be amid the madness outside the gates of the circle. Walking through San Francisco or Oakland or San Jose or any city, really, seemed more and more like a third-world experience, with unnecessary filth and unnecessary strife and unnecessary errors and inefficiencies. On any city block, 1,000 problems correctable through simple enough algorithms and the application of available technology and willing members of the digital community. She left her camera on. She made the drive in less than 2 hours, and it was only midnight when she arrived. She was wired from the trip, from her nerves on constant alert, and needed relaxation and distraction. She went to CE, knowing there she could be useful, and that there her efforts would be appreciated, immediately and demonstrably. She entered the building, looking briefly up at the slow-turning Calder, and rose through the elevator, breezed across the catwalk, and to her old station. At her desk, she saw a pair of messages from her parents. They were still awake, and they were despondent. They were outraged. May tried to send them the positive zings she'd seen, messages that celebrated that an older couple, dealing with MS no less, could still be sexually active. But they weren't interested. "Please stop," they asked.
"Please, no more."
And they, like Mercer, insisted that she cease to contact them unless privately. She tried to explain to them that they were on the wrong side of history, but they weren't listening. May knew that eventually she'd convince them that it was only a matter of time for them and for everyone, even Mercer. He and her parents had been late to get PCs, late to buy a cell phone, late to everything. It was comical, and it was sad, and it served no purpose to put off the undeniable present, the unavoidable future. So she would wait. In the meantime, she opened the chute. There were few people with pressing needs at that hour, but there were always unanswered queries waiting for business hours to start, so she figured she could chip away at the load before the newbies came in. Maybe she'd finish them all, stun everyone, let them come in with a clean slate, an empty chute. There were 188 latent queries. She'd do what she could do. A customer in Twin Falls wanted a rundown of all the other businesses visited by customers who had visited his. May found the information easily and sent it to him, and instantly she felt calmer. The next two were easy, boilerplate answers. She sent surveys and got 100s on both. One of them sent her a survey in return. She answered it and was done in 90 seconds. The next few queries were more complicated, but she kept her rating at 100. The sixth was more complicated still, but she answered it, got a 98, followed up, and brought it to 100. The client, a heating air conditioning advertiser from Melbourne, Australia, asked if he could add her to his professional network, and she readily agreed. That's when he realized she was May.
"The May?"
he typed. His name was Edward.
"Can't deny it," she answered.
"I'm honored," Edward typed. "What time is it there? We're just finishing our work day here."
She said it was late. He asked if he could add her to his mailing list, and again she readily agreed. What followed was a quick deluge of news and information about the insurance world of Melbourne.
He offered to make her an honorary member of the MHAPB, the Melbourne Heating and Air Conditioning Providers Guild, formerly the Melbourne Heating and Air Conditioning Providers Brotherhood, and she said she would be flattered. He added her to the friends on his personal circle profile and asked that she reciprocate. She did.
Gotta get back to work now, she wrote. Say hello to all in Melbourne.
She felt already all of the madness of her parents, of Mercer, evaporating like mist. She took the next query, which came from a pet grooming chain based in Atlanta. She got a 99, followed up, got back 100, and sent 6 other surveys, 5 of which the client answered. She took another query, this one from Bangalore, and was in the middle of amending the boilerplate to the query when another message came through from Edward.
Did you see my daughter's request?
He asked. May checked her screens, looking for some request from Edward's daughter. Eventually, he clarified that his daughter had a different last name and was in school in New Mexico. She was raising awareness of the plight of bison in the state and was asking May to sign a petition and mention the campaign in whatever forums she could. May said she would try and quickly sent a zing about it.
Thank you,
Edward wrote, followed a few minutes later by a thank you from his daughter, Helena.
I can't believe May Holland signed my petition. Thanks, she wrote.
May answered 3 more queries, her rating dipping to 98, and though she sent multiple follow-ups to these 3, she got no satisfaction. She knew she'd have to get 22 or so 100s to average the 98 up to 100 overall. She checked the clock. It was 12:44. She had plenty of time. Another message came from Helena, asking about jobs at the Circle. May offered her usual advice and sent her the email address of the HR department.
Can you put in a good word for me?
Helena asked. May said she would do as much as she could, given they had never met.
But you know me pretty well by now,
Helena said, and then directed her to her own profile page. She encouraged May to read her essays about wildlife preservation and the essay she used to get into college, which she said was still relevant. May said she would try to read them when she could. Wildlife in New Mexico brought Mercer to mind. That self-righteous waste. Where was that man who made love to her on the edge of the Grand Canyon? They had both been so comfortably lost then, when he picked her up from college and they drove through the Southwest with no schedule, no itinerary, never with any idea of where they'd stay that night. They passed through New Mexico in a blizzard, and then to Arizona, where they parked and found a cliff overlooking the canyon with no fences, and there, under a noonday sun, he undressed her, a 4,000-foot drop behind her. He held her, and she had no doubts because he was strong then. He was young then. He had vision then. Now he was old and acted older. She looked up the profile page she'd set up for him and found it blank. She made an inquiry to tech and found he'd been trying to take it down. She sent him a zing and got no answer. She looked up his business page, but it had been taken down too. There was only a message saying he was now running an analog-only business. Another message came through from Helena.
What did you think?
May told her she hadn't had time to read anything yet, and the next message was from Edward, Helena's father.
It sure would mean a lot if you were to recommend Helena for a job there at the Circle. No pressure, but we're counting on you.
May told them, again, that she'd do her best. A notice came through her second screen about a Circle campaign to eradicate smallpox in West Africa. She signed her name, sent a smile, pledged $50, and sent a zing about it. She saw immediately that Helena and Edward re-zinged the message.
We're doing our part,
Edward wrote.
Quid pro quo?
It was 1:11 when the blackness swept through her. Her mouth tasted acidic. She closed her eyes and saw the tear, now filled with light. She opened her eyes again. She took a swallow of water, but it only seemed to heighten her panic. She checked her watchers. There were only 23,010, but she didn't want to show them her eyes, fearing they would betray her anxiety. She closed them again, which she felt would seem natural enough for a minute, after so many hours in front of the screen. Just resting the eyes, she typed and sent. But when she closed them again, she saw the tear, clearer now, louder now. What was the sound she was hearing? It was a scream muffled by fathomless waters, that high-pitched scream of a million drowned voices. She opened her eyes. She called her parents. No answer. She wrote to them. Nothing. She called Annie. No answer. She wrote to her. Nothing. She looked her up in the Circle search. But she wasn't on campus. She went to Annie's profile page, scrolled through a few hundred photos, most of them from her Europe-China trip, and, feeling her eyes burn, she closed them again
And again she saw the rip, the light trying to get through, the underwater screams. She opened her eyes. Another message came through from Edward.
May, you out there? Sure would be nice to know if you could help out. Do right back.
Could Mercer really disappear like this? She was determined to find him. She searched for him, for messages he might have sent to others. Nothing. She called him, but his number had been disconnected. Such an aggressive move, to change your number and leave no new one. What had she seen in him? His disgusting fat back, those terrible patches of hair on his shoulders? Jesus, where was he? There was something very wrong when you couldn't find someone you were trying to find. It was 1:32.
May? Edward again. Can you reassure Helena that you'll look at her site sometime soon? She's a bit upset now. Just any word of encouragement would be helpful. I know you're a good person, and wouldn't intentionally mess with her head, you know, promising to help and then ignoring her. Cheers, Edward.
May went to Helena's site, read one of the essays, congratulated her, told her it was brilliant, and sent out a zing telling everyone that Helena from Melbourne/New Mexico was a voice to be reckoned with, and that they should support her work in any way they could. But the rip was still open inside May, and she needed to close it. Not knowing what else to do, she activated circle surveys and nodded to begin.
Are you a regular user of conditioner?
Yes, she said.
Thank you. What do you think about organic hair products?
Already she felt calmer.
Smile. Thank you. What do you think about non-organic hair products?
Frown, May said. The rhythm felt right.
Thank you. If your favorite hair care product isn't available at your usual store or online site, would you substitute it for a similar brand?
No.
Thank you.
The steady completion of tasks felt right. May checked her bracelet, which showed hundreds of new smiles. There was something refreshing, the comments were asserting, about seeing a circle semi-celebrity like herself contributing to the data pool like this. She was hearing also from customers she'd helped in her CE days. Customers from Columbus, Johannesburg, and Brisbane all said hello and congratulations. The owner of a marketing firm in Ontario thanked her via Zing for her good example, for her goodwill, and May briefly corresponded, asking how business was up and over there. She answered three more queries and was able to get all three customers to fill out extended surveys. The pod rating was 95, which she hoped she could personally help bring up. She was feeling very good and needed.
May?
The sound of her name, spoken by her processed voice, was jarring. She felt like she hadn't heard this voice in months, but it hadn't lost its power. She knew she should nod, but she wanted to hear it again, so she waited.
May?
It felt like home. May knew, intellectually, that the only reason she was in Francis's room was that everyone else in her life had, for the time being, abandoned her. After 90 minutes at CE, she checked the circle search to see where Francis was and saw he was in one of the dorms. Then she saw he was awake and online. Minutes later, he'd invited her over, so grateful and so happy, he said, to be hearing from her.
I'm sorry, he wrote, and I'll say that again when you get to my door.
She turned off her camera and went to him. The door opened.
I'm so sorry, he said.
Stop, May said.
She stepped in and closed the door.
You want anything?
He asked.
Water? There's this new vodka, too, that was here when I got back tonight. We can try it.
No thanks,
she said, and sat on a credenza against the wall. Francis had set up his portables there.
Oh, wait, don't sit there, he said. She stood up.
I didn't sit on your devices.
No, it's not that, he said. It's a credenza. They told me it's fragile, he said, smiling. Sure you don't want a drink or anything?
No, I'm really tired. I just didn't want to be alone.
Listen, he said. I know I should have asked your permission first. I know this. But I hope you can understand where I was coming from. I couldn't believe I was with you, and there was some part of me that assumed it would be the only time. I wanted to remember it.
May knew the power she had over him, and that power gave her a distinct thrill. She sat on the bed.
So did you find them? She asked.
How do you mean?
Last I saw you, you were planning to scan those photos,
The ones from your album? Oh, yeah. I guess I haven't talked to you since then. I did scan them. The whole thing was easy.